from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. This is a time of hope.
This morning, as we start our program, I want to mention once again that our Vacation Bible School at the United Church of Christ starts this week. In fact, it starts tomorrow, July 17th, and goes through Friday, the 21st. It's from 6:30 to 8:30 in the evening. It's for kids that are age 3, and then goes up to include those who have completed the 5th grade. It's Hero Central is the theme, and for you parents and grandparents, your kids and grandkids are certainly welcome. You can just show up, or you can call the church at 796-4885 for more information.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord.
We, your faithful, shall bless you.
We will speak of the glory of your kingdom. You are great, O God, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant that we may believe in you, call upon you, know you, and serve you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Gathered into God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. Let the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Amen. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever.
Amen. Our children's time is led by Carla Clennon.
Good morning. How is everybody? Did you all work out this morning? What? Do I have any people that think they're strong and heavy with us? Well, we have a few. You think you could hold this? Is it heavy? It's not heavy at all? Yeah? Not heavy? Oh, look at you. Wow. Okay. My next question is, can you lift a car?
No.
But you all said you were heavy.
Yeah, because it's bigger.
But you can't lift a car? Well, what do you think you need to lift a car? Do you need help?
No.
How about a jack?
Is that super heavy?
Well, it's kind of heavy.
Okay. Nope.
Oh, it is heavy.
But I can do this to it.
So what we do, we lift a car with a jack to change tires, to work underneath the car. It's heavy.
Yeah, but it's a real one.
It is a real one. It's out of my Jeep.
Yeah, it looks like my grandpa's.
So, what other things that might be heavy that you have in your life?
Bricks.
Besides bricks. Is there anything you all worry about?
Bricks are very heavy.
Jaylee, you want to hold it? What else do you worry about? Is anybody worried? Test? Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I worry about tests too. Anything else you worry about? Yeah, a lot of us adults worry all the time because we're stressed. So who do you think you take your worries to and your burdens to? God. Yeah. So today in our scripture lesson that Reverend Maul's going to read, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Wonder what that means. So who else? You said God we're going to give our worries to, right? So when somebody's like in an accident or somebody has cancer, do you pray for that person? Yeah, you take some of their load off, so you pray for them. And in our Bible, we have God has lots of scriptures. It says, "Do not be afraid, I am with you." And that's from Genesis 26, verse 24. "I will give you strength." That's from Psalms 28, 7. "I am in your times of trouble." That's from Psalms 34, 6. And these words of encouragement are just what we need in facing hard times. So when we have our worries, we have our troubles, we need to take God with us, and he will help lift some of our burdens that we have. Let's say a little prayer. Dear Father, we are thankful that when we struggle under the loads of life's burdens, you are there to help us carry the load. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our special music is by the Roback Brothers.
Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes. Well, the morning is bright and the lamp is the light and the night that is as fair as the day.
Our epistle lesson is read by Carla Clennon, followed by the gospel lesson and his sermon, The Yoke of Love and Grace, by our interim minister, Pastor Gene Maul.
Dwells within me, and that is in my flesh. I can what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do not want to do what I want, it is no longer I do it, but sin which dwells within me. So I find it to be law that when I want to do the right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in the inmost himself. But I see the members another's law at the war with the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin, which dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here ends our first lesson.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus spoke to the crowd saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We play the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We can ask a question today, and the question is, what is real? In some ways, Jesus may be indicating that that may require a childlike faith. And children sometimes can sense things that are important and put it together easier than we do. And, you know, I have even had people tell me that the best part of a church service is the children's sermon, because they could understand that better than anything else that is said. Might be true in some ways. But even the gospel here says for today, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants." See? There is a painter by the name of Edward Hicks back in the 19th century. He was remembered as a painter of children and animals. And you could always tell his painting if you see one, because the animals were many, wide-eyed and contented, and the children played among them. And if there were any adults, they would just be in the background. With his children and the animals playing together, it sort of reminded me of that second verse of that piece in the valley that you just sang a few minutes ago. Kind of scene here indeed. Some thought that Hicks' work were reflecting such innocence, socially impossible. They thought he was naive, historically deceiving. But no, not so, reflecting Isaiah's vision of the wolf and the lamb together, led by a child. It's like a messianic child who leads us all to the peaceable kingdom. You can almost sense his Quaker upbringing, his great peace emphasis that he had. Here he was sharing a dream of peace, sharing a new hope, things that would be turned upside down to discover what he could call a new real for the people in life. There's another person to think of at this time in the same way, and that's Marjorie Williams. She would look at what is real as well. And listen to a passage from one of the books that she wrote by the name of The Velveteen Rabbit. That's a book that I bet some of you have read or heard or may even have. It goes like this. There was once a velveteen rabbit, and in the beginning he was really splendid, and he was fat and bunchy as a rabbit should be. And his coat was spotted brown and white, and he had real thread whiskers, and his ears were lined with pink sateen. And for a long time he lived in the toy cupboard and on the nursery floor, and no one thought very much about him. He was naturally shy. And being only made of velveteen, you know, some of the more expensive toys quite snubbed him. Living between them all, the poor little rabbit was made to feel himself very insignificant and commonplace. And the only person who was kind to him at all was the old skin horse. Now, the skin horse had lived longer in the library or the nursery than any others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed seams underneath, and most of the hair in his tail had been pulled out to string beaded necklaces. But he was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys, and they would arrive and boast and swagger, and by they would break their mainsprings and pass away. And he knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day when they were laying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came in to tidy up the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside and a stick-out handle?" "No, real is not how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Well, does it hurt?" said the rabbit. "Well, sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you do not mind being hurt." "Well, does it happen all at once? Like being wound up," he asked, or bit by bit?" "It does not happen all at once," said Skin Horse. "You become. It takes a long time. And that's why it does not happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and you look very shabby. But these things do not matter at all, because once you are real, you cannot be ugly, except to people who do not understand." This is the message of the gospel for today, a message of peace and love and acceptance and grace that is real. And Jesus could have been quite cynical at this point, because as he was talking to the people and as he was seeing them, they could not understand this. They say the Son of Man comes eating and drinking, a glutton and a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Well, yes, he was a friend, but they did not understand why. But no, in a way that even a child could understand, his message was coming through. For Jesus also says in this gospel, as was mentioned here in the children's message time, "Come to me, all that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." For Jesus, there was no division, no judgment, no discrimination. You do not have to earn it. He invites everyone who is weary to come. He does not qualify them. He does not define the burden. Just come. And who among us has never been weary? Who among us has never had a burden in life? And we can run back those years right now, and we can even name some of the times when the burdens were there. Jesus says, "I am gentle I am humble at heart. You will find rest for your souls. And those indeed are welcome words. And this is real. You would think that Jesus would have been worn out by now, that his skin would have been pretty thin and his hair plucked out as well, but no. He's always there for another burden, another weary person. Come to me, he says. And then he makes an offer. He says, take my yoke upon you to make your burden light. See, a yoke can be a miracle that transforms our lives from chaos to calm. When I think of yoke, I always think of the old oxen yoke. And we may have examples of them somewhere around the community, or we may have seen pictures of them. I still remember, you know, one of those first reading books that I had in my one-room school in Wisconsin with this picture of these oxen working with the yoke on them. And that has stuck in my mind. It's just, you know, a yoke is a piece of shaped wood. And these oxen are there with it on their necks, and they're fastened to a plow in apparent bondage. But yes, they are free in one sense, because they know exactly what they are meant to do. There's no wandering around. There's chaos. In chaos, there's no freedom at all. But the yoke provides direction, and that direction, in one sense, is freedom. Paul, in that first reading for today, had to find that yoke of freedom for himself. He could find his life just wandering around. What did he say? Words like these: I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Oh, wretched person that I am. Can you identify with those words? His only conclusion was, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In our worship service, at near the beginning, why do we have a confession? It's because we also need to hear the words, thanks be to God for our lives. We need the reminder about this yoke of love and grace. And that's a yoke that we do not wish to miss for ourselves. There's a story about a circus that traveled from town to town. I know you have a little circus in town here once in a while yourselves. But at that time, you know, they would come to town and the troupe would parade around the town and they'd hand out the little brochures to the people in the community. And then they would go to the grounds and they'd set up the tent. One day, the tent caught fire. It was about an hour or so before the performance was to start, and everybody ran to help the circus troupe, but they sent one person out to the community to see if they could get some more help and get others to come and assist. And the man cried out about the fire, please come. He pleaded with them, bring your buckets, come and help. But no one came. No one. And the tent burned to the ground. You see, in excitement, the person that they sent out to the town was the clown from the circus. The clown who was already dressed for his action. And the people just thought he was drumming up some more business. Not until they saw the smoke in the sky did they realize that the message was urgent. They had heard with their eyes, but not with their ears. There were some who greeted Jesus who saw in the same way. They saw with their eyes. He goes around with these people that we think are questionable. But Jesus called us to hear with our ears, to find this yoke of love and grace. And when we find that, it transforms our relationship with God, and it restores us again, and it refreshes us and renews us. I believe I said a week ago or two, why do we come to worship? We come to worship to glorify God. But we also say, wonder of wonders, He also refreshes us in return as well. We cannot buy that rest. It's freely given. Ours is to receive, ours is to enjoy. And this yoke strengthens our relationships not only with our God, but also with each other, who also need the same yoke for their lives. And it sent us to serve in a reservoir of freedom. Freedom that we have with the yoke on our shoulders and the gospel of Christ. The yoke of love and grace. May this yoke be real for each of us today. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.